Take your Bibles, please, and join with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6, if you would, please. I am so glad today that we have a church that honors our veterans. I am so glad today that when we talked about the Veterans Day program at a staff meeting a couple of weeks ago, our staff just took off with it. The idea of helping our veterans, supplying the breakfast, and volunteers, I'll do this. It's a joint effort within our church. I am so thankful. We have a church that honors our military. Some may think it odd, however, about honoring the military in a church, being a Christian, but it's not as strange as it may sound. Many passages in the Bible refer to military men with honor and respect. For an example, Matthew chapter 8, there is a centurion who met and asked Jesus, told him, "I'm a military man. I command people here to go here and do this. Jesus, I've got a servant back home. He's sick. He's ill. You do not need to go. All you have to do is just speak the word, and he can be healed." Jesus, when he heard this in Matthew 8:10, said this, "When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, 'Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel.'" A centurion in charge of the crucifixion, being and seeing everything he ordered done against Jesus. When Jesus died, he at the foot of the cross said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." Everywhere in Scripture, Jesus never condemned the military. He acknowledged them. He respected them. He commended them. Some churches, however, may not. Today, this is just another Sunday. Many churches do not want to acknowledge our military and think it wrong to do so. Back years ago, I pastored the Halsted Baptist Church in Halsted, Kansas. Nearby was a small Mennonite community. They had a Mennonite College. It was during the 1980s. Ronald Reagan was president, and he boosted the military spending by 20%. The Mennonites in our area, according to the news media, quit paying 20% of their income tax on April 15th as a means to protest the United States military. In that college, I had an ethics professor. Knew that I was a Baptist preacher, also knew I was a member of the Kansas Air National Guard. He invited me to come to speak to his class on the subject matter, is it ever justified for a Christian to fight in a war? What a subject. I went there, I taught on the Old Testament characters. I taught about Gideon and his army of 300. I taught about Joshua fighting the Battle of Jericho, David versus Goliath. And then at the end of my talk, I asked this question. How many of you live in dorms here on the campus? So many raised their hand. How many of you have cars here on campus? I raised their hand. I said, you are peace-loving people. You have expressed peace for all mankind, therefore not wishing to harm anyone. Do you lock your doors at night? Do you have a security force here on the college campus? And if so, and if you're such in peace with everybody, why then does your security force have on speed dial the police department that will come with guns blazing if needed? You see, ladies and gentlemen, our United States military is our 911 force. Not everybody is at peace with America. Not everybody would be in agreement with our way of life. Not everybody wishes us peace around the world. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, we see that God uses military terms and phrases for the Christian life. And we're going to focus on them. First of all, we find in verse number 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." According to 1 Peter 5:8, Your adversary is the devil. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. I am afraid what the Mennonite College failed to see, what many Christians failed to see today, is that we are in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual warfare. And they may not wish to acknowledge it, but you can't get away from it. You look at Ephesians 6, you find words like armor, wrestle, sword, fiery darts, shield, helmet, breastplate. Clearly, there is a warfare going on. Clearly, there's something going on that the devil is indeed our adversary. Sad to say, too many Christians are unconcerned. They live their lives like there's no battle at all. They live their lives like there's no issue. I've got no problem with the enemy. I've got no problem with Satan. And they casually live their Christian life. What they failed to realize in the Garden of Eden, there was a battle for the hearts and minds of Adam and Eve, and it continues on to this day. There is a Christian who knew the battle. There is a Christian who knew the opposition. There is a Christian who was ready for the battle. Listen, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 17. They which built the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laden, everyone with one of his hands wrought the work, and with the other laid on a weapon. When they built the walls of Jericho, one hand did the bricklaying, the other had a weapon nearby. And verse number 18, for the builders, everyone has his sword girded by his side, and so build. And he that sounded the trumpet was with me. Nehemiah was not ignorant of the spiritual battle that lay before him. You and I, Christian, should not be ignorant of the spiritual battle that we are in today, that Satan is indeed our adversary. We also need the spiritual strength of the Lord. Look at verse number 10. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Our warfare requires not our bravery, not our strength. Our warfare requires the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the power of his might. His might, not our own might. According to Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Our spiritual commander in chief reminds us that we are spiritual creations in Christ. Our life is spiritual. Our heaven is spiritual. And we, my friends, as well, have a spiritual life where we fight against a spiritual enemy. There's no way we're winning on our own. There's no way we're going to win in the flesh. There's no way we can conquer Satan. But we have to be strong in the power of his might, using his strength. According to Acts 17, 28, for in him, Christ, we live and move and have our being. You and I were created as spiritual beings. We cannot live life in this earth and this lifetime as if there's no spirituality. We have to live our lives according to the will of the commander-in-chief, according to our Father, according to our Lord, who gave us the spiritual life that we might have a home in heaven. We are not here for ourselves. We are here to accomplish his mission, his goal, and his plan. We also have been given spiritual armor. You see in verse number 11, to put on the whole armor of God. This is a command. It is not a suggestion. When we were in the military, we were not given a suggestion. Here is your rifle. If you wish, learn how to use it. Oh, no. We had to learn how to use it. It was a command. You will know how this rifle works. You will be able to take it apart. You will be able to use it on the firing range. And you will be successful with it. Put on the whole armor of God. The only way to victory, the only hope to live in the Christian life, is the whole armor, not part of it, not the parts that you choose. The whole armor of God. You're never going to have victory until the whole armor is used. I note here in this passage, the armor of God is not referred to as weapons. You'll never find the word weapon in this passage of Scripture. It's just armor. The command to take the whole armor of God. Not part of it. Not the part that you want to be comfortable with. When you join the United States military, I promise you, there's nothing comfortable about it. You are owned by the military. They tell you when to get up. They tell you when to eat. They tell you when to go to the bathroom. They tell you what the haircut to get and how short. They tell you what clothes to wear. They tell you everything. You are not your own. And when you train, they'll make it even tougher. To be an Army Ranger, you have to walk 50 miles with rocks in your backpack. That's not comfortable. If you're going to be in the military, one of the Army or the Marine Corps, you have to carry, when you get out of a ship or you get out of a helicopter, some 75 to 80 pounds on your back. There's nothing comfortable about being in a war. There's nothing comfortable with that armor you have to take. And Christian, if you're thinking I can be a Christian and be comfortable in it, I am so sorry, it ain't going to happen. It's not supposed to happen, because we are to take the whole armor of God. The fight may not be comfortable. We have to be serious about the fight, and we're told to put on the whole armor of God. Not the armor that you like, but the whole armor of God, if you're going to have victory in your Christian life. We also have a spiritual enemy, like in verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. Our enemy is not Democrat, Republican, Independent, Black, White, Brown, Yellow, European, Asian, Mexican, Hindu, Muslim, Catholic, or Buddhist. Our enemy is spiritual. It is demonic. And Satan laughs at the bickering and fighting and hatred that's going on in America today. We have to understand that the vast majority who participate in this hatred are lost. They're without Jesus Christ. They are not the enemy. They're being used by the enemy. And indeed, my friends, those people that are lost are the mission field. They are not the battlefield. Our job, our goal, is to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Part of the battle is Satan wants their souls. We are here to help give them Jesus Christ and to show them Christ makes a difference in their life. We can't see the enemy because he's invisible. He's spiritual. He's in darkness. This enemy is invisible, but we need the help in this fight. Listen, Deuteronomy 20, verse 4. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Deuteronomy 3:22, you shall not fear them. For the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. Because we have a spiritual enemy, we're not capable of fighting him. Because we have an invisible enemy, we're not capable of fighting him. We need the Lord's help. We need the Lord to fight this victory for us. And if you're trying to fight it any other way, I'm sorry. You will not succeed in any way, shape, form. And then our orders are to stand. Look at verse number 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Here in this passage of Scripture, over four times, I find the word stand. It's to stand, not fight, not advance on the enemy, not take the high ground, not to overwhelm the enemy, but to stand fast. Stand fast where we are, having done all else to stand. Stand your ground. Stand your place. Don't give up. Don't move. Don't leave your post. Leaving your post can be harmful and hurtful to others around. We each have an assigned post in our life. God has placed you where you are because he has a post for you. He's got a job for you. He's got a position for you. He has a calling for you. Stand. Having done everything else, stand. In that post, stand. Don't compromise. Stand. Don't give up ground. Stand. The Lord wants us to stand. stand fast in the spiritual warfare. We are to stand fast in the faith. Our leaders should never take a step backwards or turn aside from the faith or the gospel of the Word of God. When I pastored, I required our deacons to know the Bible in such a way that if I were absent and there was someone who took my place behind the pulpit, would you be able to recognize false doctrine if you heard it? Would you be able to recognize false doctrine? Would you know when the enemy would come in? Would you know when the truth is not being preached? Yes, we are to stand fast in the faith. We're also to stand fast in our families. This is where our post for all of us is. And this is where the target of the devil is on us. We need to carry our families closer to the Lord and away from the world. Satan knows this. He will do his best to come after the family. Sadly, I've known pastors and missionaries today who stood by the teachings and the preaching of the Word of God. But the weak area of their life and the area that the devil knew to attack was their family. And it broke their hearts. And their ministry was hurt and harmed because the devil came in. In the military, you can make all your plans you need to in the safety of headquarters. But when you get out on the battlefield, please understand, the enemy is out there too. And he has a say in what goes on. You make your plans, but the devil also has his plans. Be careful. Beware. Stand fast in the spiritual armor of God. We're told in Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 13, take unto you the whole armor that you may be able to withstand. We're told repeatedly to stand. It is God's armor. It's not our armor. It doesn't belong to us. It's God's armor. We have to take this armor and believe in it. Have faith in it. Trust in it. And know it will work. It's not a suggestion. Take it. It will work. God says it will work. Stand fast in that armor. It's spiritual armor to stand against the spiritual enemy. It is guaranteed to work or God would not have it in His Word. It is God's designed armor. Nothing else will work. Don't try to substitute anything for it. Have faith in that armor. Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher of Great Britain wanted to know if her military could stand against terrorism. She asked her generals. They said, Mrs. Thatcher, come with me. They came and went to a training camp. Training camp of what's called the SAS, Special Air Services, the equivalent of what we now know today in the United States military as the SEALs or Delta Force or Green Berets. They said, Mrs. Thatcher, we'd like to show you how we are against terrorism. We invite you to come to a kill house. Kill house is a structure built where live ammunition is fired. The SAS said, Mrs. Thatcher, would you agree? And your bodyguards to be hostages in this demonstration. She agreed. She came into the back room where most hostages would be kept. And there she and her bodyguard sat with her purse comfortably on her lap. Suddenly, the lights went out. Nothing could be seen at all. Then she heard shotgun blasts taking the hinges off the outside door. She heard yelling and screaming and shooting. Flashbang grenades were being thrown. Then they came down the hallway. More yelling, more shooting, more flashbang grenades. And suddenly the door where she was, it also was shot off the hinges. And suddenly behind her pop-up targets came in the dark. And the SAS commando shot behind her at the enemy. When it was all over, the lights came on. She still had her purse calmly in her lap, but one of her bodyguards was on the floor crying. And she looked down at him and said, George, would you get up? You are embarrassing me. That's why Margaret Thatcher was known as the Iron Lady of Great Britain. I have an Iron Lady too. couple of years ago, I gave my wife, Jeannie, pepper spray and a taser. And that's why every Tuesday night after visitation, I call, Jeannie, I'm coming home. My friends, we need to be on the alert. The devil is real. He is a roaring lion. He is a liar. He is a deceiver. He is coming after us. We need to be situationally aware around our surroundings and trust in the armor that God has given us. As we wrap this up, we live in troublesome times, perilous times. We have a commander-in-chief, however, who's willing to do the fight, willing to do the battle for us. According to 1 Samuel 17, verse 47, and all this assembly shall know, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with spear and sword, for the battle is the Lord's. Health, financial, job, whatever your struggle, whatever your battles, family, whatever the problems are, the battle is the Lord's. It's not yours. It's the Lord's. It belongs to Him. If you're not saved here today, you're not a Christian, please understand. Jesus Christ fought a spiritual battle for you. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before He died on the cross of Calvary, He fought for you. Sweat of great drops of blood poured out on the ground. He was willing, on behalf of His Heavenly Father, to take your sins, your judgment, your hell, your punishment on Himself. And in order for there to be peace in this war, He was willing to be peace for you by dying in your place on the cross of Calvary. He died that we might have victory over sin. If you're struggling today and you don't have victory over sin, remember the battle is the Lord's. Quit trying it on your own. He gave Himself for our sins. Satan was defeated at the cross. Jesus won the victory for you. And God gave us His only begotten Son, that in Him we can come at this altar, and in Him we can claim the victory, and in Him we have peace through Jesus Christ. I close with these words. I am a soldier of Jesus Christ. My decision has been made for Him. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. I have my Commander-in-Chief's Holy Spirit within me, the Word of God beside me, and His church before me. I am a soldier of Jesus Christ. I will not look back. I will not let be. I will not slow down. I will not back away. And I will not be still. I will make my stand with Him. My past has been redeemed. My present is righteousness. And my future is secured. I am finished and done with low living, backsliding, worldly planning, smooth knees, empty vision, selfless, selfish efforts, and worldly talking and cheap giving. My face is set. My steps are quick. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My fellow soldiers, they're few. My guide reliable, but my mission is clear. I cannot be bought. I cannot be compromised. I will never be detoured. I will never be lured away. I will never be delayed. And I will never turn back. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice. I will not hesitate in the presence of the enemy. I will not run away in the heat of the battle. I will not give up. I will not shut up. I will not give up. I will not let up until I am stored up, prayed up, paid up, preached up, and stand up for the cause of Jesus Christ. I am a soldier for my Lord. I must go where He sends me. I must remain faithful to serve until He comes to return for me. I must keep on until He relieves me of my last breath. And when He comes, you'll have no problem finding me, because I will be the one that will be holding His banner high, waving for my Lord and my Savior. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you are here today, Christian, and you are losing the battle, victory is here. Victory is available through Jesus Christ. All you have to do is come and give Him the battle. If you're here without Christ, remember, He fought for you. That's what the cross was. It was a fight. It was a struggle. And Jesus Christ died in your place to win your soul. You're not at peace now without Christ. But in Christ, you can have peace. And in Jesus Christ, He died to give you peace in your soul. All you need to do is come and surrender to this one who took His place on Calvary for you. Father in heaven, we thank You. Not only for all of our veterans and who've stood here today and we've honored them, but Father, we thank You for Your Son who fought for us, who took the fight to the devil and won and is victorious at this time. I thank You, Father, for the victory we already have in Christ. And I pray for those that are without Your Son. They've never been saved. They don't know that victory. They have no idea. But I pray that today they will come, they will give up, and they will let You, Jesus, live in their life and give them the peace that they're so looking for today. We thank You for it. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask and pray. Amen.